Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and joining me now as he does every single Wednesday at this time, that would be Colton Denning at Dubsco on X, owner of Two Stripes CPD. Go subscribe there. Also go subscribe to his YouTube channel, youtube.com/Colton Denning. Always good stuff coming out from Colt. Colt, what's happening, man? How are you?
Gabe, you know, last week I told you I was sick. I'm getting over it right now. It's been a week of, I would say, quality losses. For me, I haven't had many wins, but I've had a lot of quality losses.
That's
so
phenomenal.
I feel even better than I would have if I won a bunch, because I had the losses piled up, but they were quality.
Yeah. All right. Fine. Thanks for leading me in. CFP committee. They did their thing last night. I'm not saying they did a good thing, but they did their thing last night. They care about losses. Losses matter. And here's what I'll say. We've talked about this. Losses do matter. Quality losses do matter. You do need to take those into consideration. But I think there's one egregious thing from last night. I'm sure you and I will agree. Alabama being ranked below Notre Dame seems as egregious as possible. And listen, they use the same logic that they use for Notre Dame versus Miami. They use the same logic where Alabama has that loss against Florida State. That hasn't aged well. And Notre Dame has two losses by a combined 4 points to, you know, really good teams. But at the same time, it feels like we should have forgiven Alabama for their transgressions week one against Florida State by now. But what are your thoughts about the losses mattering as much as they do at the moment?
At least they're consistent. They saying it that, like, quality losses are this metric that they absolutely love. So, I mean, if you're going to do that, I'm happy that they're being consistent with it, but it just seems like the wrong thing to be consistent with, if
right.
That makes sense. I, on the Alabama thing, I think that they're a better team than Notre Dame, and I think they probably should be ranked ahead of Notre Dame. But at the same time, the Florida State loss has to count for something, especially
sure.
with how Florida State's season has gone. So I at least see it from that point of view of if you're matching up the losses that Notre Dame has to the losses Alabama has, the one for Alabama is much
sure.
worse than Notre Dame's.
Here's where inconsistency comes in my opinion. You had them ranked four in the first two editions of this poll. You had them ranked fourth overall in the country in the first two editions. One loss, though, to a team you have ranked number eight in these CFP rankings dropped them six full spots below Notre Dame. That doesn't seem very consistent to me. If you were willing to put them at number four with a loss, knowing they had that loss week one against Florida State the last 2 weeks – then why did a loss against the number eight team in the country by two just like, I mean, it was a ridiculous fall from grace?
I'm with you, and that's where, to me, the problem with all of this lies because, okay, we talked about how they're consistent with favoring quality losses, but it also goes back to something we talked about last week where they just kind of pick and choose what matters to them at a certain time. For Ohio State, it was early on, it was, well, what we've seen from the film, we really like it, and they have superstar players, and I'm not saying that Ohio State shouldn't be number one, but just using that as an example. So they just pick and choose kind of what metrics or if eye test matters to them or whatever in the current moment matters to them about a single team, and there's no real rhyme or reasoning to whatever it is.
Yeah. Now, I need to ask you, when it comes to the Miami-Notre Dame thing, like, Because I get the point. Head to head should matter. But like, do you feel bad for Miami? Do you rock with their plight? Do you feel like they should be over Notre Dame? Like, where do you stand on that particular issue?
Subjectively, no, just because I love to see that Miami's going through this of any team.
Sure.
But objectively, yes, absolutely. When you have that head-to-head win, and that's something we've constantly talked about, you should be ranked ahead of them. And I think the biggest problem to me, and I joked about it last night after the rankings came out, but I think that there's a morsel of truth to it, given that they said afterwards, yeah, that really isn't a subject we haven't talked about because we didn't have Notre Dame and Miami close. Like, I don't know how many people on the committee knew that they even played at the start of the year, and now we're getting to the point where we're talking about it, and they're like, oh, they played. Okay, we're going to have to talk about that next week. But no, I don't think it's a massive deal right now, but the closer they get, then it becomes, okay, if it's the 9 and 10th ranked teams and they're 9 and 11 right now, that win has to count as, I think, the trump card for Miami over Notre Dame.
The only thing I would say is I lean the other way for a couple of reasons. One, a win by 3 at home with a last couple minute field goal. That doesn't convince me like people are acting like it should. I understand it's head to head, but a win by 3 at home, it's just not all that convincing. Also, Notre Dame lost to number 3 and number 13 in this week's poll, college football playoff ranking. And Miami lost to 2 unranked teams in 3 weeks. And I think when you just sort of look at the factors at play here, Notre Dame has just, they have picked it up pretty drastically. I know that this is, people get mad at this type of reasoning, this type of logic, but you had a freshman quarterback starting his first game. He has been, CJ Carr, that is, so much better throughout the rest of the year. Now, you could sit here and say, okay, it's the competition they're playing. But I do think when that game was played needs to be taken into consideration pretty heavily. And, you know, just saying they won head-to-head, yeah, I get it. It should matter for something, but I don't think it trumps the other things I know about Miami.
I think all of those are fair points, and I think that's why the committee has them above Miami. And for all the hate directed towards Notre Dame, and I'm in that boat too because it's Notre Dame, for the last month and a half, they really have just kind of buzzsawed through all these teams. I was super impressed with what they did against Pitt. I think something that also helps their cause, and the committee has said this about having guys who are superstars, Jeremiah Love has been awesome and had another fantastic game against Pitt too, so that goes in their favor, and the quarterback as well, CJ Carr, has played much better since that Miami game. So I get the logic of having Notre Dame ahead of Miami. I just think that at a certain point, yes, it was early in the season, yes, freshman quarterback, but you have to just win or lose the games, and that's ultimately, to me at least, that's where it comes down to. So I see your reasoning, and it makes a ton of sense. I just disagree with it.
Here's another reason that I just want to run by you. And I know you're not like some advanced analytic guy, but this isn't really that. Why do all the rankings and polls that matter in college football that we look at on a week-to-week basis, why do they say the same thing, though, about Notre Dame being over Miami? Massey rating, Sagarin, AP poll, coaches poll, college football playoff poll, the projected BCS, the simulated BCS would have Notre Dame over Miami. Why do all these polls see it the same way?
Well, that's why we have Notre Dame ahead of Miami then.
Yeah,
right? If all of these metrics are saying, hey, we're ranking them ahead of Miami, then that's your reasoning. And I think that the committee would do well to, when this question comes up, say things like that.
Right.
Instead of whatever workaround or whatever runaround they try to come up with to try to justify it, just say, hey, by all these metrics, we think that Notre Dame, in addition to how they've played in the last month and a half and having the freshman quarterback in that environment in his first start or whatever it was, that's why we have Notre Dame ahead of them. That would simplify everything about this, but as usual, they have to make it as convoluted and as complicated as possible.
All right, now I'm going to leave Ohio State out of this conversation. Who's the most dangerous team in the country outside Ohio State, in your opinion?
I don't want to, because we did this last year, and I remember being on
I said Georgia. Are you going to try to do Georgia?
Yeah.
I do it every year. I fall right into that trap. And I'm doing it again this year, going to be honest.
The Texas game and just how Georgia, how that second half went. And really the whole game, because Georgia was up 14-10 going into the fourth quarter. And I think it'd be easy to watch that game and say, Georgia, you know, pulled away late. That was a really close game. And it was a relatively close game. But even when it was 14-10, I thought that Georgia had outplayed them. Not by a significant margin, but they had outplayed them. And then they score the touchdown, and Kirby goes for the kill shot with the onside kick. And just to me, for Georgia, one, the offense looks much better, much potent compared to what they were last year. And two, just in what he did with that onside kick and kind of what he's talked about in the days since, it just feels like Kirby's got that glow back, man. It just kind of feels like he's got his swagger back. And so that's why I'm buying Georgia right now. I still need to see how they finish the season. And watching them against Georgia Tech, I think, is going to be a really awesome barometer to kind of see where they're at. And then in the SEC championship game. But, man, I'm buying in on Georgia again. I'm in.
Yeah, and this brings me to my next question about Georgia. I don't think Gunnar Stockton's been, like, unbelievable start to finish this year. But in the biggest games of the year, I think he has proven to be probably the best big game quarterback in college football right now. In his four biggest games, four highest ranked games so far this year, 11 touchdowns and one interception. Now, granted, he lost one of those games to Alabama, but the other three he won. Like, when you look at Gunnar Stockton and you look at the Heisman race and how open it is, I'm not saying he should win it, but do you think he'll have a seat? Do you think he'll be in New York?
I think it depends on what happens in Atlanta.
Sure.
That to me, really, and again, he's got that plus that Georgia Tech game, and Georgia Tech's kind of on the periphery of all this right now, but they're still in the mix. I think that those are going to be his two biggest platforms. And for Stockton, to me, he kind of is one of those guys who could, I don't want to say sneak into New York, but just use his style of play to get into New York, because sometimes it's so hectic and he's just kind of running around out there without just like any clue of what he's doing, but it just seems like kind of he's freelancing sometimes.
Yeah.
And to me, you do that in a big game. You do that in Atlanta against an Alabama or Texas A&M, and you make a play to win the game. That to me goes down as, okay, that's his Heisman moment. Why haven't we been talking about this guy? Plus, okay, look at his numbers. They're actually pretty good. Yeah. That's how you get to New York.
Yeah, and also, you know, the other reason I'm buying into Georgia, this is the cornball in me, and, you know, knowing my history, at least recent history, he gives me a little bit of, like, not exactly the same. I think he's a little more ho-hum, you know, Southern country Georgia guy than Stetson Bennett was. But, you know, short, not very athletic, not overly awesome with his arm. Doesn't have all the physical traits, but gets the job done in big moments. That's what Stetson Bennett was when he won two national championships.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. And it feels like you're watching the reincarnation of the Stetson Bennett quarterbacking era at Georgia, where you're just like, how is this guy making these plays? What's he doing? But he's just finding ways to do it. And to me, I'm all in with you, man. I think that Georgia right now is a team that's scary, and they're not at the level they were in those last title years or those two title years, but it feels like they're getting back to a level closer to that than what they've been the past two seasons.
Yeah, the only difference is Gunnar Stockton gives more, you know, Russ Chairman at ATO vibes, as opposed to Stetson Bennett IV, who is, you know, Russ Chairman at Sigma Chi. Like, that's the only difference we're looking at in the two at the moment. Now, moving on, Lane Kiffin, do your best, I guess, to holler at me. I have conceded this fact. It is impossible to sit here and try to predict what Lane Kiffin is going to do. And I think it's a losing battle if you try to make these overwhelming predictions and generalizations based on what's happened so far. But what's your general overall feel about Lane Kiffin and his future?
I don't know. I think you can come up with any plausible scenario for Lane Kiffin and say, okay, that makes sense, right down to, like, bro, if he took the Giants job, it would be super, super shocking. But would you rule it out because
no.
Blaine Kiffin, his quarterback is already there,
right.
And, you know, maybe he just says, you know what, the NIL space and having to deal with everything that comes with it, I'm sick of it. I want to take my chances in the NFL. He's a guy who, regardless of what he says, loves the spotlight and does make everything about him still to this day, and that's why I think this is playing out exactly the way that, like, oh, yeah, this is a Lane Kiffin coaching search. This is exactly how I would expect it to go. Anything for him is on the table to me, and I wouldn't be surprised by any of it.
Well, the thing that bothers me a bit, though, is he's done this, like, character rehab. He has the E60, the multiple lives of Lane Kiffin, and, you know, he talks about how much he's learned throughout the years. But he's doing the exact same things that he's always done right now. The trolling, the social media S-posting, the, you know, just playing around with the media. He's doing the same things that he's always done. And this is supposed to be a guy who's learned from those mistakes in the past. You know, he talked about in 2022, he didn't like how he handled the Auburn interest he was garnering in 2022. And yet, you know, here he is doing the same thing, if not, you know, going further down that road, making it worse.
And that's why, despite everything and all the success, and I acknowledged his success and what he's done at Ole Miss, I've still been a hater, because when it comes down to these type of situations, I get that it's really tough when there's a job like LSU, a job like Florida Open, and he's kind of had ties to Gainesville and ties to these places, and these are jobs that don't come open every single year, and so you got to snatch the opportunity while you have the chance. But at the same time, man, you've acknowledged this, and you continue to acknowledge it every day by saying, hey, this is the best run in school history that we're on right now. And this shouldn't be the conversation around Ole Miss right now. It should be, wow, this team is making the playoff. This team, even if they, you know, it's a very outside chance they get into the SEC championship game, hey, Lane Kiffin in the playoff, they could make some noise. If they, you know, in this projected bracket, they're the sixth seed, they win the home game, and then they go play at Texas A&M, I could see Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss getting into the Final Four. That's a really strong team. But no, instead of that, we're talking about, well, is Ole Miss giving him an ultimatum? Did he fly into Baton Rouge?
Right.
So, to me, he's a guy that there are other coaches going through this right now. John Summerall at Tulane is reportedly going through this right now, and I get that that's a much less high-profile job than even an Ole Miss, but you're seeing that all handled differently than what Lane Kiffin is doing right now. And at the end of the day, that's what he wants. He can say, you know, this is all this talk. I want to focus on what we're focused on in this season. But the actions don't match the words, because he loves the drama. He always has. He always will. And it may end up working out beautifully for him. But there's a scenario here where it just kind of tanks Ole Miss's season. And you're just like, wow, that was a really sucky way for all that to happen in the best program or the best season in program history.
Yeah, now, when it comes to that ultimatum, it was reported by On3 that there was an ultimatum. He had to give them clarity by the Egg Bowl coming up here soon against Mississippi State. And then he goes on Pat McAfee and says, no, there was no such ultimatum. They didn't say that to me. But is there any way, if there's no clarity by the time we're getting into championship week, that he's going to be able to coach Ole Miss through the college football playoff?
I mean, he could. I don't think you couldn't let him if you're Ole Miss.
That's where I'm at. I like, he says there's no ultimatum, but with the calendar, it's just like a natural ultimatum for all coaches.
Yeah, it has to work out that way, because if you're Ole Miss, like, I understand what people are saying, and our buddy Kyron Samuels is big on this, is, hey, Lane Kiffin has done things that this program has never seen before.
Sure.
And I'm sure that those fans and everybody in Oxford is grateful for that, and they should be. But at the same time, it's like, hey, man, one day, even if it's not now, you're going to leave the program. There's going to be a future of Ole Miss football beyond you. And whenever that is, we have to make sure that we're in position to succeed. And if Lane Kiffin leaves them in between, you know, these dates and when they are potentially going to play in the playoff, which is pretty much a lock at this point, like, you have to make a decision that benefits the program. The program,
sure,
is bigger than Lane Kiffin. The Ole Miss logo is bigger than Lane Kiffin, no matter how much success he's bringing the program.
Now, if that happens, and honestly, here's where I'm at. I almost weirdly Sorry, Ole Miss fans. This is for the greater good of college football and the calendar overall. I almost hope it happens so we can get back to the drawing board and people can have discussions. Because if the head coach of a highly ranked playoff team that has a first-round home game is not coaching the team because of this, it's a shot at the playoff system. It's a shot at the transfer portal system. It's a shot at the calendar. And I think we need to revisit those conversations and make it a lot more simple for ourselves. I know none of these answers are simple, but hopefully if that were to happen, we can make some right some of the wrongs that we have made.
Oh, it's okay, Gabe. Don't worry about it. Tony Patini and the Big Ten are trying to solve it for you by just saying, you know what, 12 isn't enough. We're going to 24. Double this thing.
I guess. All right. Virginia Tech hires our man, James Franklin, who, of course, was fired after a 3-3 start at Penn State. But he's 128-60 overall in his college football coaching career. I would imagine he's still hungry because he could have just sat on this buyout he got from Penn State, but he hopped right back into a job. And that would be my big concern about a guy sort of getting to the peak of the profession and then having to take a step down from Penn State to Virginia Tech. But what do you think of the hire? How much do you like the hire?
I love it, man. And just on a personal note, like I've always, you know me, just being an Ohio State fan and James Franklin being at Penn State, I've, you know, dunked on the guy and Ohio State dunked on him just constantly over the last 15 years. And so I've never really had anything good to say about him as a football coach. But to me, this is like the biggest babyface turn, to use some Memphis wrestling lingo. It's the biggest babyface turn for any coach for me personally. Like, I love Virginia Tech. I love watching Virginia Tech succeed. And so I hope he goes out and turns that program around, because this is a program, if you're somebody of our vintage, of our age, we can remember Virginia Tech winning 10-plus games every single year. And maybe it's fitting because those Virginia Tech teams would face off against, you know, top five teams and other highly ranked teams, and that's kind of where they would lose the plot. And so you're kind of seeing him fill into the shoes of what Frank Beamer was in those games against highly ranked teams. But I really think this is a great move for them. And if you told Virginia Tech fans 7 months ago, hey, James Franklin is going to be your coach,
you're going from
November,
Brent Pry to James Franklin, it would have been backflipping.
Yeah, I think it's an awesome move for them, and I think he's going to succeed. That's an area in that DMV that he not only knows, he dominates that area. And so if you're like a Maryland fan right now, that's where I'd be like, ooh, we were already dealing with him at Penn State. Now he's even more in the area. That's going to be rough.
Yeah, but I like, for me, this hire just – it screams stability for a program that desperately has been searching for that since Frank Beamer was gone. Whether it was my former coach, Justin Fuente, or Brent Pry, they've just been desperately needing someone to stabilize that program. And, like, he may not win the big one, but if I went through his coaching style, his wins, losses, and looked at his career, that's probably the one word I'd use to define James Franklin, no? Stability.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're Virginia Tech, it's not like you're looking at this either and saying, okay, this is just a guy who took over for a Penn State program who was dominant. I mean, I think that Bill O'Brien, in the 1 year he was there, did a really nice job of transitioning from the post-Paterno scandal and the mess that was for the program. But after that, James Franklin took over and really kind of brick by brick built that program into what it is now and kind of how self-sustaining it is. And he also did the same thing at Vanderbilt, too.
Yep.
So it's not like you're just looking at a guy who's like, oh, he's just kind of led these blue blood teams and they've won 10 games. No, he's been a proven builder, and he's brought stability to where he is. So if you're Virginia Tech, man, you haven't won 10 games since 2016. You haven't won 9 games since 2017. It may take a couple of years, but in this new era, I think that James Franklin can really have some success, especially in that conference, which is still super wide open right now.
All right, so I just need to ask you, you're a college football lifer, you love the sport. What do we call the week before the final week of the season? You know, rivalry week is the final week of the season. What do we call the week before in the SEC, where you have a bunch of FCS teams, group of five teams, matched up against some SEC opponents? Samford versus A&M. Charlotte versus Georgia, Eastern Illinois versus Bama, Mercer versus Auburn, Coastal Carolina versus South Carolina, Western Kentucky versus LSU. Do we have a functioning name for what this week needs to be termed?
Aaron Saturday. I don't know. Right? Like if you have your chance to go pick up everything for Thanksgiving next week, and you're not going to be super locked in, then I guess this is the weekend to do it. For me, I was so out of commission last week that you won't believe this. I only drank one beer. So I'm getting back to it, and if I got to just sit on the couch and drink beer and watch,
man, you still sound a little, little nasally, brother. We got to be careful. You don't need to, don't wake up with a hangover. You might get a little more sick. Don't need that.
Well, I'm at the end of it, and you know what? Sometimes you gotta are you hurt or are you injured? Last week I was injured. This week, right now, I'm at about 85%. So I'm
you're a limited practice participant. Limited practice.
I'm limited right now, but okay. I'm going to be probable on Saturday. That's for sure.
Okay. All right. You just need to take some time off during this week. Just get those mental reps.
I just like the SEC. You got to just take some time off and get these mental reps before we get into what's so beautifully known as Rivalry Week.
All right, brother. What you got dropping on Two Stripes and on the YouTube channel coming up soon?
I had Hits of the Week drop yesterday, and it's just going to be continuous Hits of the Week until we get to the end of the season, and then throwback content is starting to pour in right now. I got a list of guys that I'm looking at for throwback content, so that's all coming down the pike. I can't wait for it. YouTube.com/ColtonDenning and on TwoStripesCPD.com. This is the best time of year, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You are the man, Colt. We'll talk again next week.
Yes, sir.
He is Colton Denning, owner of Two Stripes CPD, and YouTube.com/ColtonDenning. Go subscribe to both and take in everything Colton has to offer. Now let's go ahead and grab a break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back on that note, when we come back, we're going to be blitzing right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
All right, Gabe. Pablo Torre finds out, made the Apple Podcast best of from his reporting on the Clippers aspiration story, and of course, his reporting on Bill Belichick's North Carolina experience. And Bill Belichick's fiance, girlfriend, balloon handler.
Yeah, lead producer of Belichick Industries.
Muse in theory. Yeah. Losing Muse mostly.
Right.
Cheerleader.
Yeah.
Jordan Hudson responded via Twitter/X to Pablo Torre finds out and just said simply, "You're welcome."
And do they have a competition behind the scenes, her and Bill, of like how can we make ourselves look worse every day? Well, like, do you really think Pablo Torre wants to report on how ridiculous y'all's relationship is and how badly it's going for North Carolina in the Bill Belichick era? You think he wants to report on that? He's reporting on it because it's an interesting story, and you guys have made it pretty easy to report upon because it is so ridiculous, so visibly ridiculous. Like, for her taking credit for Pablo Torre and how good his podcast is, how good his reporting has been, get the hell out of here. It's hilarious, honestly, that she thinks she's that important. There's a clear misunderstanding in her brain about the importance she should play in Bill Belichick's life and how important she is in the public eye. and her public image. It's so tarnished. It's so bad. And she has dragged the best football coach in NFL history down to her level at this point. And I please tell me you saw this online.
I did.
I learned that during the bye week for Bill Belichick in North Carolina, he was at an adult competitive co-ed cheer event because she's an adult competitive cheerleader. Putting the bow in her hair and everything. Like, listen, I don't like to judge, and I pride myself on not being that judgmental of a person. Like, do what you love. But at the same time, like, that's up there with 38U football, dude. Like, where you're paying to play and wearing loose-fitting jerseys. Like, that is just, I hate using the word cringy, but I'm going to use, that's cringy beyond recognition.
It's a bit cringy, yes.
And here's what I would say, you know, on Bill Belichick showing up for that. You have a 4-6 football team.
Maybe in the film room.
How do you have time to show up to an adult competitive cheer event, co-ed cheer event? Just so bizarre. So bizarre. But shout out to Pablo Torre for being best of for Apple Podcasts. And Jordan Hudson, you didn't, I mean, you played a part because you were one of the subjects, but it was good reporting. It was compelling. And it was a good story told by Pablo Torre. And I don't think you had much to do with it.
If I were to guess, they were also awarded this mostly because of the Clippers aspiration story. I would think they had many more podcasts on that, but
they're still,
to be honest,
they're still releasing information.
I actually thought, stay with me here. Okay. I actually thought it was a bit endearing for her to respond and say, you're welcome. It at least showed to me that she is at least a little bit in on it. She's a little bit self-aware.
Okay,
a little bit.
But I don't think she was saying thank you. And granted, we lose a lot of things in translation via social media. Like, I get that part of it. I don't think she was trying to say that in like a cute, funny, ha-ha
maybe not
way.
That's true.
I think it was like, you're, you know, it. The way I read it, even though it just said you're welcome, is I think you're a piece of trash, Pablo. That's the way I read it.
You are probably more. I am trying to just be like, they can't be this ridiculous all the time. It is just a.
There was a balloon arch
series of comedic errors that they are.
What do you mean they can't be this ridiculous? They've shown you time
it's
and time again.
It's just crazy.
There was a balloon arch.
I mean, that's why, honestly, when the
press
photo,
room after a 40-point loss
when
in
the
game
photo
one.
And the video came out of them at this cheer competition, which my dumbass watched the whole routine. I was curious.
How'd she do?
It looked like a bunch of adults cosplaying as teenagers. It was very, it's odd.
It's weird.
It's like, listen, I get it. Men and women play rec sports until certain ages, but I feel like every sport kind of has its cap until we all move on to pickleball. That's kind of what happens.
Well, like, yeah, there's like, a cap. There's a cap when it becomes just weird.
Yeah, it becomes weird. And it's like, for cheerleading, I think that age is a little bit lower.
You know, after college, if you're not if you're not an NFL cheerleader, honestly, I'll give you a CFL. You can go be a Canadian football cheerleader. And I respect that.
Right.
But when you're doing like this independent, like,
yeah. Well,
co-ed,
that's why, like, 38U football is a good example. Because it's like 38. Brother, hang him up.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, you get to like, I would say like 33, 35 for football.
Yes.
Basketball, you get until, you get much longer run with basketball.
And then you get scared, though, that you're going to tear an Achilles. You know, church league,
dude,
church
I
league, it's
all
fun.
I hurt my knee playing basketball a few years ago, and I barely play anymore.
Right.
Because I'm like, I'm not trying to explode something.
We're not heroes
in my 30s. Yeah. First off, that medical bill can't afford it.
Yeah, right.
So don't want to deal with it. But now, I watched the routine, I was just like, what are we doing here? And then the thought did cross my mind, Bill, you're head football coach for North Carolina. You use your time wisely. What's happening here?
Oh,
it was insane to me. And you know she runs. She is a demon in these practices. You know it. You know it. She's doing this to North Carolina football. What do you think she's doing with a co-ed cheer team that she's competing with?
It's just such a cringy, weird
image. I bet she is screaming at people.
To see 60-plus-year-old, is he a 70 at this point? No, he's 60-something. Bill Belichick with his hands folded, crossed up, leaned against the wall while his girlfriend has the bow in her hair and the whole get up as a cheerleader doing independent routines with her co-ed cheer team. That's just a very, like, unsettling, strange image that I can't get out of my head.
73.
He's in his cell. Oh, God. Okay, point still stands. It's just such an unsettling vision.
You know that there was some husband or boyfriend there, too. Like, is that Bill Belichick? What is Bill Belichick doing here?
Buddy, go coach your football team, please.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That would have sent me into a psychosis. If I was at one of those events and I looked over and I was like, is that Bill Belichick? I would have started questioning whether or not I had schizophrenia. If seeing Bill Belichick at a competitive cheerleading event
I'm getting
for
the heebie-jeebies.
Adults.
I'm getting the heebie-jeebies. Can we move on? Can we get to the next thing?
Yeah.
It's just such a weird image. And
it's,
I know, everyone
odd.
Has the same feeling as me.
It's just,
I know,
odd.
Everyone shares that feeling. It's just strange.
It is, you know, more power to you. If you want to do that, more power to you. But seeing the greatest NFL coach we have ever seen at a competition, it's just,
sends like a tingle down my spine.
It's just weird. It's just weird. All right. Moving on.
Yes, please.
Haven't heard from Coach Prime a whole lot this season, mostly because of his team's 3-7 record, but amid speculation that he was on the hot seat, he reassured Colorado fans with this. You've got the right man. Just give me an opportunity and a little more time, and I'm going to prove that to you.
And Rick George, the AD, said he's not on the hot seat in the slightest.
And he shouldn't be.
We knew that after he lost Travis Hunter and his son, Shador, who's going to be starting for the Browns coming up this weekend, as we already talked about, we knew it was going to be a rebuilding year. We knew he was going to have to find his footing again. And I think there's a lot of things he needs to fix. Pat Shurmur, his OC he came into the year with, should not be an OC anymore. He needs to find a real offensive coordinator who knows the college game, understands it, and who the game hasn't passed him by. I think the game's passed him by. Just a little too conservative. Didn't know how to use Caden Salter. Even though I don't think Caden Salter's a good quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, didn't know how to use him. He was using him like he was Denard Robinson at Michigan, when he can throw the ball at least a little bit. So that was always bizarre as a weird fit. The trenches need to consistently get better. I thought they had it in the 9-win season a year ago, but they somehow regressed a little bit. But, you know, he's still gonna recruit with the best of them. He still can get, you know, calls answered. He is Deion Sanders. He's one of the best football players that have ever walked this planet. So there are still kids and families that will want to, you know, go grace their, you know, put their presence within that program. You know, 4- and 5-star players. We'll see how it all works out. And he's got a quarterback going into the future, Juju Lewis, who he has started down the stretch of the season. Former 5-star guy, was supposed to go to USC to be the next guy in line for Lincoln Riley, and he goes to Colorado, and he's shown some flashes in his couple of starts and a little bit of play that he's gotten down the stretch of this season. So, you know, knowing what Colorado was before Deion got there, from a fan perspective and from a results perspective, and seeing what he's been able to do through 3 years, even though he has a 4-8 year and a 3-7 year so far, you know, it's better than what they had before. You have more fan engagement. You're making more money. It's still good. Now, if he stacks another season next year with Juju Lewis at 3-9 on top of what he's doing this year, then we could really have the discussion. But I think it's way too early for a program like Colorado, thinking about the state that they were in before he got there. It's
correct.
Way too early for a program like Colorado to even think about moving on from Coach Prime.
Totally agree with everything that you just said, and would like to add, he's also dealt with some major, major health issues.
Yes, that's true.
So maybe let's not put him on the hot seat when it's been a tumultuous season, just because he's having to rebuild that roster. But
he's
also dealing with
blood clot issues,
serious health issues.
Yes,
yeah.
I mean it's been tough for him. He's had to take a lot of time away from that program.
And again, hey Colorado, what were you like 5 years ago?
Yeah, and here's the thing: I don't think there's a lot of Colorado fans themselves
right.
like calling for him to be fired.
I don't think so either. That's why I was surprised to see this.
I think it's more like national that sort of want to trickle down and hate on Coach Prime on the back end when he has a bad season, kick him while he's down a little bit.
Rex Ryan?
But I don't see a lot of Colorado fans calling for him to be fired.
South Carolina entered the season as the number 11 team in the AP poll and sit at 3-7. Shane Beamer spoke yesterday on not meeting expectations. This is what he had to say. I do know next year at this time, we are going to be sitting here on this Tuesday night watching the playoff rankings to see where we are in the rankings show. And we are going to be firmly in the mix for a college football playoff berth next year at this time.
This reeks of desperation. Now, it's better than what Steve Sarkisian said. And granted, he's not 3-7, but he's sitting there at 7-3, and they were number one in the AP poll. And if you saw it earlier this week, they asked him, you know, what do you think about not meeting expectations? He said, whose expectations? It's like yours and everybody's. You were the preseason AP number one team, and Arch was the leader. He was the shortest odds to win Heisman. You've not lived up to expectations. This is better than that.
I would once again like to state I am out on Steve Sarkisian, and I don't understand why everyone's been so in.
Texas fans are still... Texas fans champion him more than anybody in the country.
I just don't see it.
It's kind of wild.
I don't either.
I've said it on multiple occasions. I've talked with all my guests about it.
Good coordinator. Just I don't think has the makings of a head coach.
I don't see it. I really don't. But that's beside the point. Know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of like a mafia movie, right? Where you have a guy that needs to pay back the mafia. And they say, okay, drop dead Thursday, you owe us, let's say, $5,000. You get to Thursday, they catch up with him after this long chase, and they hold him down, they hit him in the face a couple times, bloody his nose, and they say, where's my money? And he says, I'll get it to you. I'll get it to you double. I'll give you double by next Thursday. Give me 7 days. I'll give you double. And then by next Thursday, he's not able to live through that promise. It's desperation. It's... I have not lived up to the standard. I'm scared of being fired, so let me promise way more than I can actually deliver.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm trying to make. That's what that reeked of to me.
It's 100% Artie going to Tony and the Sopranos and saying, just give me more time, Tone. Yes. Give me more time, Tone. And then eventually Paulie and Christopher will have to show up and take you
and
out.
And whack you.
And take you to the Pinewoods.
They're going to have to. They're going to have to. And I feel like South Carolina, that's close. I know he had a 9-win season last year, right on the outside looking in at the playoff, but he had just about that same roster coming back this year, 11 to start the season in the preseason AP poll, and they're 3-7. Now, and I'm not saying they've gotten blown out every game. They played close with Alabama, played close with a couple other teams, good teams on their schedule.
They should tell the committee.
But
maybe they'll be in.
At the same time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
You can't have the expectations that he had going into the year. You can't have that ranking attached to your name going into the year. You can't preach that we need to meet those expectations going into the year and fall this short and expect to keep your job. This is desperation. It's so obvious to me.
I agree. I think he's a good football coach, but they fell really short of expectations. And people being upset with him and the team is warranted. But this does reek of... Give me one more year. I promise.
He's promising double of what he owes the mafia
Have a good season.
As long as you give me a 5-day extension, I'll give you double of what I promised you in the first place.
Just why would you do that, dude? Just promise.
How about a bowl game?
Yeah. I'll finish. How about let's maybe back it up ranked. I'm in the college football playoff because fans will hold you to that.
Yes. 100%.
I promise you they will.
100%. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to meet those expectations.
I don't think so either.
That'll do it for the Blitz. One more segment left today. We'll go ahead and rewind. When we return right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.